don't have time to stop and say, no moving around, no talking. I want every ear to be in tune to the pulpit and every heart tuned to God. And I want every eye to be focused on this place just for a few minutes. I'm going to leave you one thought that I think is one of the most blessed thoughts in the entire Bible. I read for you just one verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, in that verse, the first two words are italicized, which means they're placed there by the translators. There's no verb in that verse or that statement. There is, therefore now, no condemnation. The apostle is saying no condemnation. It is a shout. He hasn't got time for verbs. He hasn't got time to put all the words in. Like you say, look out, look out. There's a car coming down the street. Watch it! You don't have time to put the verbs in. And or suppose you won some prize and you say the prize. There are many things that you would say, but you're just summing it up because of an exaltation or the emergency. So the apostle says, no condemnation. That's all he says. No condemnation. He means there is therefore now no condemnation, but because of a sudden exaltation and a sudden desire to lift his voice in praise, he just says, no condemnation. Father, bless the message now and give us, I pray, what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. The seventh chapter of Romans, listen carefully. The seventh chapter of Romans deals with, basically, with the battle that Paul had between the old nature and the new nature, between the old man and the new man. In fact, the apostle says in the eighth chapter, and you need not share with me in reading because of time, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. By the way, you could say that too before you got saved. Sold under sin. Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Everybody in this room understands that kind of language. There are vows that you make to gods you don't keep. There are things you want to do and plan to do that you don't do. There are things that you plan not to do that you do. There are things you plan to stop that you don't stop. You have good intentions, but you don't carry them out. And then he goes on to say, for I know that it is in me, my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul is looking at himself, and he's saying, I'm just a wretch. Now, we look at each other and say, he's just a wretch, but not so. Paul said, I am just a wretch. He said, there's no good thing in me. He said, I want to do right and can't. I don't want to do wrong, but I find myself doing wrong. He says, for the good that I would, I don't do. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, what I would not is no more I do but sin that dwelleth in me. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, listen to me. Apostle Paul lists all these things. He says, I'm wretched. He said, I'm sold to sin. I want to do good and can't. I don't want to do bad, but I do. And he lists. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And then all of a sudden, something dawns on him. And that is that not one single sin is recorded against him in heaven because of the blood of Christ. And all of a sudden he says, I'm sold under sin. I'm carnal. I want to do that which I don't want to do that which I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm the chief of sinners. And then all of a sudden he transfers to the fact that God has not charged a single record against sin against his record. And Paul says, in spite of all of that, no condemnation. Oh, great shout of joy. What he's saying is this. The word condemnation means to know something against somebody. The word comes from two words, kata and gnosko in the Greek. And it means to know something against somebody. And Paul said, I did that. Oh, I'm ashamed of it. I did that. I'm ashamed of it. And I'm like that. I'm ashamed of it. But he said, there's none of it against me. Actually, he's saying, God don't know nothing against me. There's nothing on my record. Why, he said, look at all the sins I've committed, but none on my record. And there's another word, that condemnation. Sometimes it's translated, is kata krima, which means the sentence following an investigation. Paul said, that God has nothing against me, and there's no judgment going to take place, and there's no court case against me, and there'll be no sentence handed down. And Paul said, in spite of the fact that I'm the chief of sinners, he said, no condemnation. Great shout of victory and gratitude to God, without even a verb, as he says, no condemnation. That's what John means in John. Jesus meant in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. No. You're not going to stand before God someday. God's going to say, well, I got a bunch of bad things about you. Let me see how many bad things I got. You got 10,164 bad things. Well, let's see how many good things you got. You got 8,241 bad good things. So die and you go to hell. Depart from me. Oh, no. The truth is, no bad things against me up in heaven. None. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed are all in the past. They've all been forgiven, and he holds me fast. I'm justified, and so God does not see my sin. Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. Oh, yes, I do wrong, but not one single sin is charged against me. Why? Because all of them were charged against Jesus, and he stood penalty. He stood judgment for me and paid my sin for me, and all of my sins have been charged to him. Now, all his goodness has been charged to me. So the Apostle Paul could say, no condemnation. Now, for a few minutes, let's analyze this shout. Why did Paul say no condemnation? In the first place, he had changed addresses. He had changed addresses. May I read for you a couple of verses here? He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why no condemnation? Jesus condemned the sin in his own flesh. Now, and Paul said, I've changed addresses. I used to live under the law of sin and death. Commit a sin, and the sin is charged against you. Commit another sin, it's charged against you. I used to live there. But he said, I've moved. I've changed addresses. Now my address is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means he's trusted Jesus to save him, and the law of sin and death no longer applies to the Apostle Paul. No longer applies to me either, by the way. Why? Because I now live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In 1944, I decided to be a soldier. Well, I had some coercion from President Roosevelt, who strongly suggested that I be a soldier. But I decided to go ahead and enlist. They wrote me a letter and said, greetings. You have been selected by your friends and neighbors, and that's one of the most hypocritical telegrams I've ever gotten in my life. And so, I chose to go in early. In 1944, I became a soldier. I later on became a paratrooper. I had to salute officers. I had to pull KP. I had to walk guard. I remember that day when I lost my fatigue cap and found it in the mashed potatoes as I was serving under the soldiers later on. And I had to walk guard. I had to, in the paratroopers, I had to run everywhere. If you left the barracks, you had to run. You ran to the day room. You ran to the orderly room. You ran to the mess hall. Everywhere you went, had to run. Nobody out. Nobody could go anywhere unless they ran. And then I had to run 10 miles every day with combat boots on. And I was in the Army. 2.5 years later, I was given another choice. And that choice was to re-enlist for some more time in the Army or to get discharged. I'll give you two guesses what choice I made. And anybody that has any sense makes the same choice. And so I was given that choice. And I chose not to re-enlist. I chose to go free. Now, what was it? That day I chose to go free. I was made free from the law of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I didn't have to salute any officer anymore. I didn't have to run between the mess hall and the barracks and the day room and the orderly room anymore. I didn't have to pull KP, glory to God, hallelujah, anymore. I didn't have to walk guard anymore. I could stick my tongue out at a second lieutenant and did quite often. And anymore. Why? Why? Because I no longer lived in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was free from the law of the paratroopers. I was free. I'd changed addresses. And I went back to Texas, where the Lord Jesus was born there in Palestine, Texas, and where he rose from the grave. And I went back to Texas, and now I was under the laws of the state of Texas. And that the only law there is a six-shooter. And so I was free. Oh, you think I wasn't happy? No longer have to salute those second lieutenants. No longer have to pull KPR guard. No longer have to obey the rules of the paratroopers. I'd changed addresses, and I could stick my tongue out at all the captains and colonels and majors and lieutenants and sergeants and corporals and PFCs and everybody else and say, go ahead, run your army if you want to, but I'm free of the law of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I've changed addresses. One day in 1926, September 25th, I was born. And for a while, I chose to live under the law of sin and death. But one day I heard there was another place I could move, and that was the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And so I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I transferred my address from the law of sin and death. You commit a sin, it's charged against you. You commit another sin, it's charged against you. And I transferred to another address, and I live in another place now. Guess where I live now? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That over here in the law of sin and death, I commit a sin, charged to me. I commit a sin, charged to me. Over here, I commit a sin, charged to him. I commit a sin, charged to him. And now I've changed addresses. I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. And Paul said, he said there was a day when I labored under the bondage of sin and death. But he said, I've been transferred to a new government. And he said, now I am under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I recall one day in college, our Bible teacher, Dr. Frazier, he stood up and he told a story. He said, men, he said, the one most important word apart from Jesus in the Bible is the word grace. He said, I, for years, he said, was a Church of Christ preacher. I believed you had to get baptized to get saved. I believed you had to keep the law and hold out and hang on and endure to the end. And he said, I'd go to bed at night, and I'd say, Lord, forgive this sin, forgive that one, and forgive this one, and forgive that one. And he said, oh, Lord, if I've forgotten any sin, remind me of it. I don't want to go to hell in case I died during the night. He said, young men, I've been laboring under the law of sin and death. But he said, one day, I found the truth. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And he said, I got up and announced to my people, I'm a pastor of a Church of Christ. He said, right across the street was a Baptist church. I announced to my people I was going to go across the street and join the Baptist church that night. And he said, oh, you never saw some of the Church of Christ folks in the Baptist church in your life. And he said, I walked across the street that night and walked down the aisle and joined a Baptist church. Why? He said, because I had changed from the law of sin and death to the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go to bed at night and confess your sin so you'll go to heaven. You confess your sin so you can have sweet fellowship with God and not have that fellowship broken. But the moment you came to Christ, you changed your address. You came from the law of sin and death to the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And there are folks in this room this morning who've gone to some confessional booth and tried to think of every sin you've committed and tried to confess them so in case you died, you wouldn't go to hell. I've got some good news for you. There's a house rent across the street, and that house is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You don't have to live under the law of sin and death. The Apostle Paul looked, stopped, and realized the fact that he had changed addresses. And he said, no condemnation, because he had changed addresses. There's a second thing that's in this, why Paul said no condemnation. Not only had he changed addresses, but he was dead. He was dead. In chapter 7 and verse 6, I read for you this verse. It said, but now that we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now let me illustrate. Why was Paul happy? Why didn't Paul say, now I'm a Bible teacher and I want to tell you that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul say, no condemnation? First, he said it because he had changed addresses. Second, he said it because he was dead. Let me illustrate. Suppose today I drive down Calumet Street and get a little bit reckless. Of course, I never would. I always obey the speed limit, always do. And sometimes it's a little rough, though, with Dr. Evans and others trying to get by me. But suppose I'm driving down Calumet today, 80 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone. And so one of Hammond's finest bubble right behind. And so he pulls it. Hey! Reverend Hiles, I've heard a lot about you. I'm not surprised. You're a fast man. And so he gives me a little tract. It's Christmas time, and he passes out a little tract here. And I get a special invitation to come to a party at the courthouse. And so let's suppose, though, that I'm supposed to go to court on Tuesday for this citation. And so suppose tomorrow I have a heart attack and drop dead. So they take my carcass up there, my old dead body, and put me on the bench and like that. And the judge says, is it true that you are going 80 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone? And the lawyer comes over and points his finger in my face. I guess I'm using this because I went the other day as a witness for a trial, and a guy got up, put his finger in my face, and he said, where were you the night of, and so forth. And the judge said, leave Reverend Hiles some room. Step back a little bit. Let him breathe. He didn't step back before I slugged him. But anyway, and so they put my, and so the prosecuting attorney says, is it true that you went 80 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone? And the judge says, we may as well dismiss the case. Suppose the judge says, I sentence you to die in the electric chair. I'd say, judge, I'm done dead. You can't do anything. I'm already dead. See? Now look, I'm already dead. I'm dead, Paul said. He said, no condemnation. He said, in the first place, I've changed addresses. He said, in the second place, you can't sentence me to die because I'm already dead. He said, I'm dead to the law. And Jesus, the judgment would come. And all of a sudden, I'd stand and say, before judgment, and God would say, guilty and condemned to die. And I'd say, judge, I'm already dead because somebody else has taken those sins and stood with those sins charged to their record and been pronounced dead. And in the mind of God, he was crucified before the foundation of the world. And in some mysterious sense, I was crucified with him and in him when he died. And I'm dead. You can't sentence a dead man to death. You can't punish a dead man. Throw my old corpse if you want to in jail. But I'm dead. The Apostle Paul said, I know my record. I'm a sinful man. I have bad things against me. I'm a wretched man. I'm the chief of sinners. I want to do what I don't want to do, and I don't want to do what I do. And I find a law in me that says I try to do it, but he said, I'm carnal and sold unto sin. And then he said, but in spite of my sin, no condemnation. Why? He said, because of changed addresses. I'm not under the law anymore of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, because I'm dead. He said, I've already died to the law. In Jesus I died, and I'm already dead to the law. And so he shouts, no condemnation. There's a third thing I find as I analyze this shout. He said, no condemnation. Why? He's changed addresses. No condemnation. Why? He's dead. And a third thing, no condemnation because Paul got married again. Now, of course, getting married again brings more condemnation down here than most anything in the world. But Paul got married again. You say, wait a minute. He said no condemnation because he got married again? Yep. Let me read it for you. Here's what it says. It says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Sorry, ladies, you only got one chance. And so it then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, so on, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Paul said, I done got married again.
said, I was married one day to the law of sin and death, but it got sick and died at Calvary. And he said, when the law of sin and death got sick and died at Calvary, I was free to marry again, and I married Jesus. And he said, woo! No condemnation!
Several years ago, my sister went with me over to South Bend, Indiana. They lived in Texas at the time, Mother Earlene. And I was preaching in a sword conference over at South Bend. So Earlene went with me for a couple of days. And so we're walking across the street, downtown South Bend, and a car was coming straight. We were walking on this side, crossing Main Street, and coming toward us was a car. We thought he was going straight. He didn't see us. We had the right of way. He didn't see us because it was afternoon and the sun was shining in his eyes. He didn't see us. And so he turned left, and there he was coming right at us. And he was going enough to kill us if it hit us. And so I saw it coming towards us. My sister didn't. She's much older than I and doesn't have the reflexes that a young man like I have. And so I saw it, and I jumped up in the air, jumped away. And those that saw us said, you must have played some kind of sports, because actually while you were in the air, you saw that your sister was not seeing the car, and she was about to get hit with the car and no doubt would have been killed. While you were in the air, you turned around, grabbed your sister, pulled her up, and pulled her, and as she was leaving, going towards you, the car hit her, but she was going like that. Instead of like that, it caught her as she was moving. And it just bruised her just a little bit on the thigh or the hip. But somebody said, all in 1 minute, you jumped up, you jumped away for yourself, turned around in the air, got your sister. But when I did it, they said, you said, look out, Earlene, look out. Now, I didn't have time to say, Earlene, we are crossing on the south side of the crossroad. And we're going east on that road. There cometh toward us a car that's going west. The sun is in the west, sinking beautifully in the west. And because the sun is sinking in the west, it's shining in the driver's eyes. And the driver cometh toward us. He's turning left. He does not see us, Earlene. So I am going to pull you. Brace yourself for it now. I'm going to pull you as quickly as I can away from the car. Well, she'd already been in heaven or wherever she's going to go by that time. And I said, look out, Helene, look out. Now, what I meant was all that I just said. And the Apostle Paul looked at himself and he said, oh, he said, I'm such a dirty sinner. He said, I'm wicked. I'm a wretched man. I'm the chief of sinners. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. And he said, oh, my record's so bad. And then all of a sudden, he says, no condemnation! And then he explains to us why he said it. He didn't say, there is therefore now no condemnation because I was a sinner. And because Jesus paid for my sins on the cross, he came from heaven, incarnate, God incarnate, then took upon himself the likeness of flesh and condemned sin in the flesh, and he was became my... No, he didn't have time. That's what he meant. But he was so happy, he said, no condemnation! And then he tells us why. He said, there's no condemnation because I've moved to a new address. I'm not under the law of sin and death anymore. Jesus took care of that, and I've gone to a new address of the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, no condemnation! Why, Paul? Because I'm dead. You can't condemn a dead man. You can't sentence a dead man. I'm already dead. I've died to the law. No condemnation. Why? He said, because not only have I changed addresses, not only have I died, but he said, I got married again, and I got married to Jesus. And he said, I got a divorce from my old wife died. He said, I was married to the law of sin and death, but that died when I trusted Jesus. Did you know the minute you say yes to Christ, did you know that the old man dies? A lot of ladies are going to get converted this morning hoping the old man will die. But when you trust Jesus, the old man dies. And then, oh, you don't have to go to bed at night and say, oh, I wonder what I've done. You don't have to go to the telephone booth on Saturday and tell somebody, I've done this and this and this and this. When you get through, ask him, tell you what he did. And
I've done this and this and this and this. And oh, I hope I haven't forgotten anything. And just in case I have forgotten something, I want to pay in advance for what I may have forgotten here. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to. God, to the person that receives Christ and commits his soul in his keeping, that person isn't under the law of sin and death. What does that mean? God doesn't put your bad things over here and your good things over here. It's like I told the preacher boys last night. I said, fellas, and though I didn't go through all, I told them about it, I didn't go through it. But I said, this is what happens. Let's put my name over here, Jack Hiles, and let's list some bad things about me. Let's see. I can't think of any. Can you think of any over here? All right. Let's see. Well, let's suppose I were stubborn. Okay, I'll put that down here. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. And let's suppose that I had a temper. All ridiculous supposition. But I'll put temper here. And let's suppose that I had bitterness in my heart toward the bass section of the choir. I'll put bitterness here. And let's suppose I told a lie one time. I just told it then because telling you I never told a lie is a lie. But anyway, I'm a liar here. And let's suppose I took something one time wasn't mine. I'm a thief right there. And all the other bad things were put down right here. Now let's put Jesus over here, I said the preacher voice last night. And let's just all the good things about him. And let's see, that's mercy and compassion and goodness, and meekness, and all the good things about Jesus. And I said, do you know what happens when a person puts his trust and faith in Christ? I said, he takes my name off over here and puts Jesus over all these bad things. And now Jesus is stubborn, has a temper, and has bitterness, and is a liar, and a thief. And he scratches Jesus' name off over here and puts Jack Hiles' name over here. And when God looks at my record this morning, he sees kindness and goodness and temperance and meekness and long-suffering and patience and compassion. No wonder Paul said, no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. And that's exactly what you can say. If you walk down this aisle this morning and get on your knees at this altar and know that you're a sinner and know that Jesus Christ took upon himself your sin and know that you don't have to go to hell because he suffered it for you, and if you'll trust him and rely upon him completely to save you from your sin, you can get off your knees and holler, no condemnation! I just changed addresses! I just died! I just got married again to Jesus because the law of sin and death has died. And you can say with the apostle, no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. Father, bless the truth of the message to our hearts.